This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf. And I get to clear my desk today. Yes, I'm going to feel so good. And then I won't feel bad researching all kinds of new topics for you because I will have an almost clear desk by the end of today's show. I have emails to answer, questions from listeners and watchers, people who watch my Deb Wolf Pet Expert YouTube channel where I post the shows and I also post videos. So if you ever hear something on the show, like me talking about how to train a dog or a cat to do something, and you think I'd like her to demonstrate that, ask me and I can just put it on YouTube. It's that easy. Okay, so here's our topics. I got asked a very simple question. What do you feed your own personal pets? That's a very good question to ask someone because a lot of times people like me are paid to promote a certain product, but that might not make us use it on our own pets, right? So asking what do you use on your own pets, sometimes you'll get a qualification. The person will say, well, I would use, and they name the product they're supposed to sponsor, and then they say why their pet can't have that. But my dog's diabetic, so I give him raw food, or whatever they do. But in my case, I could use anything I want, really. Yeah, I have good connections, and people want me to try their products. I recently got dropped a whole bunch of free samples, enough for, if you had one cat, it would probably be 6 months worth of cat food just to try a new product. And the big companies are often giving me product to try and products wanting me to be in their program. So I could choose the most expensive or the cheapest. I could choose a small bag of $120 kangaroo food or lamb or anything really. And the thing is, and this is a little bit controversial because the brands really want you to be loyal. And I would suggest that most of the time, the vets that they hire to work with them also have brand loyalty and want you to have brand loyalty because there's a little bit of a guarantee there. If you only eat their food that they tested and nothing else, then they can guarantee what kind of nutrition your dog is getting, right? It's a little more scientific. But I don't believe in that. I don't believe people should eat the same thing every day for their entire life. Now, maybe you like to start your day with oatmeal, as David does, a friend of mine, every day. That's okay. But, you know, once in a while, you should put different fruit on there. You should not have the exact same ingredients every single day because you get different nutrients in different ways with different absorptions and different chemical reactions from different foods, right? You don't want to eat. What if you're deficient in something or you can't absorb something properly? Now, the vets and the brands would argue, well, that's why you should stick to our food because it's scientifically formulated to meet all the needs of your pets. But what I say is variety is very good, right? I might eat blueberries when they're in season and then switch over to yams. Now, if I really love blueberries, I can buy them frozen and eat them all year round. But I make sure to make my diet a little bit varied. And I want that for my pets too. So what I do is I get very good quality foods, very good, the best, but I don't stick to one brand and I don't stick to one recipe. In fact, I intentionally mix it up. So if I happen to get a brand that's grain-free, I will always mix it right then and there in the container. I dump the bag in, dump a little of this bag, dump a little of that bag until the container that I use to feed them is full of two kinds of food because I won't do grain-free. Not even for a month, I won't. They had too many studies that showed it was a bad idea in dogs that they were getting heart problems and serious, serious issues. So there's an example of mixing. Works great. But I like to change foods. Now, I'm blessed with dogs who have really strong stomachs. They don't react when I change their food. They don't get diarrhea or the runs. They even my elderly dogs at 11 and 12 would be fine when I would switch a food. So, and actually, they get really excited to try the new food. So there's something about this, you know, just like you, you like to try new foods. You like to eat something different. I mean, today I opened up a bag of, what was it? I think it was acana, but I know it was lamb. and they haven't had lamb in a while. And they were eating the last of the old food, which I think was a chicken-based one. And so I put a little bit of the chicken-based one in each of their dishes, you know, a little bit of kibble, and then a little bit of the lamb when I mixed and shook it a little bit. And one of my dogs, he's finicky, Fabio. He must not have the gene for food motivation. So I had to add a little bit of wet food to his, like I always do, make a little gravy, mix it up. But all the others just dove on their bowl because it's interesting when it's new. And by sticking to pet foods that are produced with veterinary help, I'm guaranteed that each and every bag, each and every type I try has been tested, is nutritionally sound. And then by mixing it up, I make sure my dogs have variety in their life, that they don't get so used to one food that they can't handle other foods, that if anything's missing or not being processed properly in a certain food, they can get it in another food. Now, I really notice that my dogs love this new thing where they freeze dry the kibble. That process instead of whatever else they were doing, which I think was probably overcooking them and maybe even depleting the nutrients. But when I get freeze-dried, which I'm kind of preferring now, that's what they go for. They just love it. Any food that is freeze-dried as opposed to processed will get their attention more. So that's what I do for my dogs. And my cats are on this new food that I was trying. I like it. I think it's called Go. I like it quite a lot, but when I use it all up, I'll buy something else for them probably. Or maybe just switch the type of, you know, the recipe, you know, stick with the same company, but switch a little bit. Now, the ideal diet for a cat is between 12 and 18 mice a day, actually. And if they eat that, they don't really need much else. They get their vegetable nutrients from the what's left inside the mouse's tummy, and they get... and they drink water, and that's enough for them. But that's not what our... I actually did see one food at one of the niche pet stores that is exactly that. It's exactly that. It's rodents. So crazy, hey? Why didn't we think of this earlier? I don't know. All right, well, I'm going to ask you a question on the break and I hope you won't look it up. Because it's kind of a mind-boggler if you don't look it up. So don't look it up, okay? All right, don't look it up. You gotta be good. Don't look it up. See if you can figure out the riddle of the day, which is, where is the origin? From what country, from what part of the world did the Sphinx cat come from? Don't look it up. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Don't look it up. Where did the Sphinx cat come from? Was it Egypt? Was it Africa? Was it India? Where? Was it Asia? I don't know. I do know, but you don't know. But I'll tell you later. Think about that. Okay, that's our little riddle of the day. I want to give a thumbs up to this commercial on TV. And I've told you about this company before because they've had some good commercials. But they have it's Progressive Insurance. And they have this one commercial where they have AI, I guess, generated, you know, CGI or whatever, fake, but they look real animals driving the cars. And so there's a ram driving one car, there's a llama pedestrian, there's a deer driving a car, there's a lion driving a car, there's a sloth keeping everybody, you know, driving slowly, there's a badger and there's a wolverine. And the thing about this commercial is they're all different types of drivers. So that's clever. Right? The lion who has to be first and the sloth who keeps everybody waiting and the ram who bashes into stuff. I mean, it's so funny. But the animals are really true to themselves. I love this commercial. So well done, Progressive. Okay, got another question. Got another question from y'all. Somebody wants to know, my dog Pickle, we had to change her name because she gets herself into a pickle. My wife wants me to get health insurance for her. Will she change her personality? Should I get health insurance? Is it worth it? Oh my God. Yes. I gotta say, if your dog has this tendency to get into accidents, there are accident-prone people who are clumsy or perhaps high-risk takers or just bad at estimating their own level of coordination. Whatever the case may be, there are dogs just like this. And if you've already found that Pickle just gets herself into stuff and bing, 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 there goes the vet bell. Oh, you know, we all went to the lake, but Pickle got her foot caught in a rock. Oh, we all went on an outing, but Pickle, you know, got her head caught in the door. Like, whatever it is that's happening with this Pickle, and he doesn't go into it, but he does show a picture of Pickle with what looks like a trash can stuck on Pickle's head. So, yeah, get the health insurance. For some people, it's not worth it. I've found over the years I don't get it. I have a very good relationship with my vet, and because of the volume with the boarding business and the breeding and such, I do get a discounted rate. But even still, my dogs are so healthy, and I'm quite good at teaching them how to deal with our adventure walks and hikes and doing it gradually and slowly and exposing them to risk till they learn and such. So I don't really have a lot of vet bills myself until they're elderly. And then, sadly, it's usually pretty quick, 6 months to a year. It's such a sad time. But right now, my oldest dog is six, so I have none of that. I got no vet bills except annual vaccines. So for me, the vet insurance has not been something I've wanted. But when people buy a golden doodle from me and they ask me, I really don't know what to tell them because it so much depends on fluke. How can I predict where you're going to go or how it's going to be or what kind of risks you're going to put your dog through? And also, you know, I know genetically these dogs are sound. In fact, recently I got Embark tests back telling me they're genetically sound and have no problems. But that doesn't mean their dog might not have a problem someday somehow, you know. And so it's really a personal decision. But they will not, it's just like human insurance, they won't be covering anything that happened before. So if you're hemming and hawing, you should probably do it soon. And in a case of an accident-prone dog, do it right away. Because accidents cause long-term health problems sometimes. So get the insurance now. So later on, when all these accidents come to mean in arthritis or something else, or she really gets herself in a big pickle, an expensive one, maybe that garbage can had something in it that makes her swallow it and get stuck in her stomach. Now you got $3,000 bill. Okay, health insurance for Pickle. That's what I say on that one. I'm siding with the wife. Okay, everybody, we're going to break. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Where is that Sphinx from? All right, the cat I'm talking about. Where's it from? Stay tuned and find out.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell. She was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk.
She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. Back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. Well, the Sphinx cat is not from Egypt, and it's not from Africa, and it's not from India, and I will tell you all about it on our next show. Yes, I will. Oh, what a tease. Well, cats like to be teased. I gotta say, they do. They do. Cats do not like to just throw the toy at them like a dog does. Throw the toy, bring it back. Some cats will fetch, but they love a good tease. And they'll fetch even better if you tease them with the toy first. My good friend Dusty Rainbolt, author of Raining Cats and Dogs and Kittens for Dummies, she said once on a show that what cats really want, they don't want a playmate the way dogs do. They want a preymate. So most cats really do want you to pretend you're the prey or have a toy that's the prey, and then they get to stalk it and kill it and catch it and pretend. That's what they want. They're good imagination animals. Very good at imagination, if you can think of it. And they also enjoy experiments with gravity, but you don't want to do that. That's knocking things off. Which, you know, people always puzzle at that. Like, why does my cat do that? Why does my cat do that even when I'm not in the room? It's not attention getting. Why does my cat knock stuff off? Well, I remember back in the day, the David Letterman show, he used to do this running gag where he would stand on the top of a building and he would throw pumpkins. I think it was just after Halloween. He'd throw pumpkins off and they would watch them explode from the top. And it almost looked like reverse fireworks. You know, it was kind of exciting. It's kind of cool to see them go splat and fly, and then they would do slow-mo. And that's what I think cats see when stuff falls off. They look at it and they go, look at that. So that's what's going on. All right, now, let's see. So yeah, the Sphinx cat, not from Egypt, not from Africa, not from India. Actually, and this surprised me probably the most, they're from Canada. Canada! They don't look like a Canadian animal. Normally an animal bred somewhere or that comes from the origin somewhere kind of suits the climate. So dogs from Canada, the Labrador has a lot of fat on it for the cold water. The Husky and Malamute, a lot of fur for the cold winter, right? This makes sense. And as you get south, you get the dogs bred are shorter haired and just different to suit the different weather, right? A Husky might be miserable in Florida. So it makes sense. This doesn't make sense to me. So we'll find out about that next week because I researched it and I want to share it with you. But we got more topics to cover today. Wild turkeys, people. I know I was telling you about them in Wisconsin. Yeah, well, you're not the only country that has wild turkeys pestering people. In Montreal, yep, we got some wild turkeys too. And they're attacking people. And in one case, there's footage of this man. He's just, I don't know, I think he's just walking. I don't know what he's doing. He's not a mail carrier. He's not a delivery man like the ones in Wisconsin. He's none of those things. He's walking along and he just gets surrounded and attacked to the point where someone else starts filming it. And a third person gets in their car and drives over and rescues him. So he has to jump in a car to get away from these wild turkeys. Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange world when the turkeys are attacking the people. It's a strange world. Okay. So yeah, it's not just in America though. I wonder if the rest of the world is having this problem and what's going on with this. So, okay. I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about communication before we end the show. I was talking about that last time and I'm not sure if I told you about the study they did on humans, but I find it kind of interesting. They had a bunch of people work out and then they took the shirts they were wearing and smelled of workout sweat. And then they had another bunch of people who'd never been skydiving go skydiving. And they took those sweatshirts that smelled of skydiver sweat, I guess. First time skydiver sweat. And they took a random selection of people. And when they sniffed the sweatshirts that smelled like workouts, not much happened. But when they sniffed the sweatshirts that smelled like skydiving, the people's pupils dilated, they got anxious, their heartbeats got quicker, all kinds of things happened without them even consciously knowing why or what was going on. Now, why do I find this interesting on Animal Party Pet Life Radio? Because this is what I've been saying the dogs and cats, basically all animals, are able to do, but not just unconsciously. They're conscious of it. We don't know that. We don't know as we smell the sweatshirt that we're getting anxious, that something's making us nervous, that this isn't right. We don't know that it has to do with that shirt and something someone who wore it experienced. The dog does. So in my case, I might have a lot of trouble reading a smell of a person who smells like they're about to break into a house. I might smell it and my heart rate might increase and I might even get a little nervous or look around because it's the study is telling us that's what happens. But I wouldn't necessarily connect it to that man. My dog does. So in my case, I already trust the dog. If my dog gets anxious about a man, I watch that guy. I cross the street. I lock my door. So I'm reading my dog instead of reading myself, which is kind of crazy. But we're so out of touch with our own abilities. And most of us don't even read the animals around us. Most of us would just discipline the animal for trying to tell us, hey, watch out for that guy. You be nice. What do you mean be nice? Be nice to the guy who's got bad motives? Why? Why do I have to be nice to that guy who smells of blood? I don't want to be nice to that guy, the dog's thinking. You know, so if you've got a well-trained dog that's otherwise good and well-behaved and sometimes it's a little edgy or cagey or starts to try to push you away from oncoming strangers or steer you, take that direction because you might not realize what's going on, but your dog probably does. So let's end the show there. And for all the cat people who've been saying, talk more about cats. Okay, here's one before I end the show. There's a cat with an amazing job. That's somewhere in America. And what happened was this cat just wandered into this guide dog training facility one day. And they have all these dogs in training. It takes 2 years and they have to learn obstacles and they have to learn how to communicate. They have to learn loads and loads of things, including how to stop a human who's 5 feet something, 6 feet something, from bumping into tall objects that a dog would never even notice because he's only 2 feet off the ground, right? So lots of complicated training going on there. But the one thing they had a lot of trouble with was finding a way to teach these dogs to do their thing, even if there's a cat distraction. So this cat wanders in and right away makes itself at home. And it basically is head of distractions. It has its own cat bed. It wanders in and out of the pens. It wanders on the apparatus. Sometimes it's totally in the way. Sometimes it's like lying down on the obstacle course. All of this is delighting the trainers because this is exactly what they need. So kudos to that cat. Well done, buddy. Way to find a cushy life with a bunch of really sweet mush bucket lovey dogs. Nice one. Nice one. All right, everybody, that's it for Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. Ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.